You are now entering the Who's House podcast.
Right before the solos, and like you was the last person on the last verse, like it's your moment, like you get a moment in the album to shine.
Cause I remember when you gave me that list, you was like, he first on this many songs, he second.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was doing all my little notes.
Nigga, I look at all them notes when I was doing this shit. That's why I was grabbing the song. Like, damn, Cud can't be on first on every song. He got to be last to get him to his first verse on his solo record. And everybody's solo song, they was the last verse of the song before they accept.
This make me excited, man, because I know what all the other songs sound like. And if this how this going down, the rest
we
of
gonna kill him. With 2 and 3, we're going to kill him with 2 and 3.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. In the place to be, it's your mother's favorite MC. La-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. You got a whole bunch of niggas up here, man.
I keep a bunch of niggas in here, nigga. We back on death row, nigga. What you thought? Eastside niggas up in here, nigga. Yo. You better know it. You want to put your shit on record. So if you got TiVo or whatever they call that shit now, TiVo may be old. There may be some new shit. Well, you need to record it. Is TiVo still around?
I think so.
I thought they got rid of TiVo.
Will you play that shit back?
TiVo gone, cuz.
I don't know.
He out of here? So what's the name of the thing now? That's the cable network, cuz. We talking about the
you
record.
You find out niggas still got HBO in here, man. We find out, man. Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, Alexa, you bitch you. Record that.
Battle Cat, man. Oh, that's the homie right there, man. This guy still got that shit, man. The smoothest motherfucker out here, yo.
When the cat get with the dog, I mean, it's funky, baby. And it's something about me and his chemistry that, you know, when we get together, we know when and how to pull that groove to make people move. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we make that music, you usually dance to the shit me and him make.
You know, yo, the shit that's crazy. I can't imagine how many friends called you to try to get in the Super Bowl, man. Like,
nigga talking about they spending the night before. I'm like, hold on, cuz. We ain't kids no more, nigga. Hey, cuz, I'm spending the night on Saturday, so I... No, you not. I got a wife, cuz. You can't spend the night no more, nigga. I ain't no teenager. Fuck you gonna just come over and spend the night, nigga, like it's the apartment. Nigga, no.
I'm not going to snitch, but there are football players that are even asking you, NFL players, to
There's
get
some it. Niggas in the NFL that ask me for tickets, and I'm not even in the NFL. That's like me asking niggas to the BET Hip Hop Award. Like, you can't get in, cuz? Ain't you hip hop, nigga? Nah, I can't get in. I don't really know nobody over there right now, cuz, so...
Like, you've done history like a billion times, but this is like on some Time magazine type shit.
Oh, kid, I'm the Black Forrest Gump.
Mm.
I'm just strolling through time, cuz. When I'm done, I look back at it and be able to like look at it and see what it is. I'm just trying to keep moving like this way.
That is like a moment in hip hop that people need to respect, man. People fight to get there. All the freaking classic dudes, Rakim, Wu-Tang. I mean, you still like the OG, but if it wasn't for all these motherfuckers back then pumping hip hop, I would never think that like hip hop would even ever be on that freaking stage, man. Unless you're like super popped out, you know?
What did Biggie say? It was all a dream. I used to read hip hop magazines, Salt and Pepper, and who would ever think that hip hop would take it this far?
Oh my God, man.
How far we took it. It's a group effort because the ones that came before me, they all know how much I love them. So it ain't even no secret. It ain't no myth. All of them, all my OGs, I give them all their respect. I either see them and give them love, try to find ways to do things with them, done songs with them, redid their songs, all of that kind of shit.
Oh, man. You got me remembering like DMX and all the classic dudes out there, man. Oh, man, we're like disappearing and shit, man. You better cherish life while you're in it, man. Like,
but everybody got an expiration date. It's all about what you do while you're here. Nobody knows. Nobody can got a calendar to say when they're going to leave. You just got to do what you do while you're here.
Mm.
And that's the mission. And those, like you said, DMX, remember when he was here, right?
Mm.
What did he do the most? He prayed for others.
Exactly.
That's what his whole mission was, to pray for others. So you don't have to worry about his spirit or his soul, because he did his work while he was here.
And of course, rumor is Snoop is wearing Kanye West's boots. I already got you a pair.
Yeah, ain't no way in the world I can crip walking in motherfucking big ass space boots. Only way I wear them motherfuckers if they got me jumping off the Empire State Building to a motherfucking lake full of gators or some shit, and I gotta walk on the gators like Pitfall to get out of there. Remember that game Pitfall, where nigga had to walk on the gators and get to the other side? That's what it'd be like with them big ass space boots. Like, nigga, drop me now, I'm ready. You sure? Yo, over the gators.
I don't know, it really annoys you, but those boots really annoy me. What do you think about when you see them boots, man? They kind of annoy you.
That nigga
Snoop,
getting
please.
Money, man. I can't hate that nigga getting money, man. That nigga getting money. I can't hate on him, but I tell you what. I never wear the motherfuckers. I'm glad it never snows in California. That'd be just the reason why I gotta get them. Nigga be like, "Cuz, you know it's snowing 6 feet of snow out there, dog. You gotta put them boots on." Like, nah, cuz, them the only things that's gonna cut through them. Nigga like, "Come on, cuz, not to Kanye's, cuz. Yeah, cuz, let me help you into them motherfuckers." Nigga gotta sit down and get help putting them on and taking them off. I don't want no shoes on with two niggas gotta help me put them on. That don't feel right, cuz.
You know, the fact that he wore it to, like a kid party, like, I don't understand this guy.
He was letting his baby mama know he wasn't there to start no shit, that's all. See, I came in here with these boots on. I'm not here to start no shit. Don't play no games.
Jokes Up Ice Cream Dispensary is the number one cannabis dispensary in Studio City and Los Angeles, offering the highest quality and the best prices on ice cream cannabis.
Yo, man, welcome to Who's House, and this is my house, and of course, it's their house today, and congratulations on Subwoofer, 50 million streams, man.
Yeah.
And you can see how the legendary status is still intact. You're in everybody's DNA. It's like the biggest cheat code, man. You know what
Without
I'm saying?
Without a doubt. You know, it's so fun. Like, being able to rely on these guys and they... 30-year knowledge of hip-hop. You know, you got 60, 70 years of hip-hop sitting right there. And then you got another 30 with me, and then another 30 with Snoop. So we talking 120 years
of knowledge.
Of knowledge.
Experience.
And so, you know, we can play loose. You know what I'm saying? Because you know nothing is going to be missed. Somebody gonna catch it. Somebody gonna fix it. Somebody gonna make it right, and that's fun, you know, to be in a group where you can relax a little bit. You don't have to be the forward front thinker of every idea that is laid. And we're having the most fun in hip hop right now. I don't know if anybody's having more fun than us.
Hella fun.
I mean, you guys, when you guys come by and y'all do shows, man, it feels good that the fans like sell out shows. I mean, I overheard like during the week you had L. Cool J interviewing. Let's add another 30 years on that, man. He's interviewing y'all. How does that feel?
150 years, like when we heard we was doing, you know, Rock the Bells, you know. I didn't know LL was gonna be interviewing us. You know, that just takes it to another level.
Come on.
He's an icon. We're fans of his. He's an OG to us. We love him. Been watching him, learned a lot from him. You know, he was, to me, LL was like LeBron was when he came in the league.
Yeah. Wow.
That's how we saw LL, you know, a 16-year-old kid who was a superstar from day one.
Out the
and
gate.
So to have him interview us lets you know the magnitude of Mount Westmore.
Was the East Coast influencing like the Bay, or the Bay was always like, I feel like the Bay is legendary Coast, in their own box.
Well, you know, early New York rap influenced everything,
like
right?
The 80s, though.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The Jump Off, man. I mean, come on, man. We was crazy about Run DMC, crazy about LL, crazy about Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel. That was the start, bro. That was the spark. That was... We wouldn't have never got
they
out.
They showed us how to be pros.
I wish, like, you know, there was no social media back then to see how you guys interacted with a lot of East Coast artists. We had to look at photos. Like, I was like, yo, this guy, Ice Cube, was with Premier, and I see, like, Eazy-E with this guy. Like, I'm like, you see all these, like, West Coast artists come to New York and link up and go back, but there was no social media to mediate that.
And I went on tour with EPMD. Like, I didn't have no shows.
Even knew that.
They was just in L.A., And he was like, you want to roll with us? I was like, hell yeah. Jumped on their bus and, you know, did all of California with them and just hung. When I came to do my album, America's Most Wanted, Public Enemy out there in Strong Island, 710 Franklin, you know, E would come scoop me. I would hang with Redman, K Solo. You know, it was just love. Busta Rhymes was a young, you know, as Earl say, a young mustache back then.
You smell me?
Yeah. Eric Sermon was my neighbor in Atlanta for years. That's my neighbor. 5-minute drive away to each other's house. Mm. Keith Murray's like one of my best friends in all of hip hop. You know, like, it ain't that much of a separation when it come down to the history of it.
Was Def Jam like a connector, like a liaison to y'all too?
I carried Russell Simmons, Leora Cohen's business cards in my wallet for years because them niggas didn't sign me.
They wanted to sign me before I did my distribution deal with Jive.
Yeah,
Russ was on me. Don't sign with them. Sign with me. He was serious. Yeah, man. He was serious. Yeah,
I got a story. Like I went solo. I didn't know who was gonna produce my record. I thought I could get Dre to do it. Mm. Jerry Heller, and he vetoed that shit.
Of course.
So I didn't know what I was gonna do. And I knew Russell and I knew Leor, and I wanted to do third base. Like I wanted Sam Sever.
Oh, wow.
Like third base had dope beats. So yeah. I was like, Leor, hook me up with Sam Sever. I'm gonna come out there. He said, come on, man, I have him come through. And Sam Sever stood us up and shit. Like, I'm sitting there.
Oh, shit.
Leor, like, what the fuck?
Flew all the way out here
and this nigga didn't show up. And so I talked to him for a couple hours and then I left. Oh. And walking through the hall, I saw Chuck D.
Nah.
Chuck D, like, I'm walking down the hall of Def Jam, going to the elevator. Chuck D bends the corner. What you doing out here, man? I'm trying to get my record produced. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, me and Big Daddy Kane, we doing a record at Green Street called Burn Hollywood Burn. You want to be on it?
Damn.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. And going down to Green Street, I was able to meet Hank Shockley, Keith Shockley, and they agreed to do my whole America's Most Wanted album.
Jesus, man.
So you should be thanking the motherfucker that stood you up.
Hell yeah. I didn't want to work with Sam Sever after that shit.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam, from a hip-hop fan.
And I still never met the nigga from this day.
Nah, like, all this
we
time.
We still never ran into each other.
Get the hell out of here, yes.
I thank you on behalf of hip-hop, Sam. Thank you.
Y'all got it, cuz.
Snoop been getting, he been acting, but he really getting his acting on right now. Like, he has a passion for it right now. Like, he ain't playing.
Is this business model influenced all of y'all in, like, finding other shit to do? Like, you know, especially you're in movies. I mean, Snoop does, like, everything. I mean, obviously, you and Snoop came in the same time, but I feel like, you know, business.
We all teach each other stuff.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
You know what I mean? You know, you already know
I saw you on a Food Network or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
you already know what I do. You
that's
know
the
goon
with the spoon.
Yeah,
come on.
Bum B-E-40. Like,
come on,
it's crazy
real.
How, you know, the DNA of the hip-hop, like, how you could just, like, choose what you want to do and you could survive, like, forever.
Come on, man. Diversifying our portfolios is where we at right now. You understand me? But rapping is our passion. You understand that?
I said that the other day. Like, I don't want no young, new rapper talking about, like, because y'all are not on any list of, like, to choose, like, or give y'all an opinion. Like, people grew up with you guys, like, fashion-wise, how to live. Some people would change their mind on what to do in life.
We're hella decades, and this is still here, God willing.
We don't need any proof of relevancy from you guys. Like, I don't want to hear, like, you know, like,
ain't no luck.
Nas is not relevant. I don't want to hear none of that shit, man.
Ain't no luck. Nas is very relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't no luck in this shit, man. This shit is hard work. Blood, sweat, and tears. You understand me? And true talent. You understand me? And being consistent.
We do know that. We do know that some of the young homies are going to become icons and legendary.
They are.
Eventually, yeah.
And we don't know which ones, but, you know, I'm rooting for the young hip hop. I have no doubt about it. I was never expected to be what I am. I just became this shit. You know what I mean? And I think that you can't look at what's happening this year to know what we're gonna care about in the future. You can't you can't look at who's the hottest on the charts this year to know who's gonna be
a
factor
in the
future. So to put yourself in a statement of critiquing a Nas or a Jay-Z or an Ice Cube or an E-40 or a Fat Joe or a Busta Rhymes, you gotta you gotta walk the path first, bruh. Give me 20 years in the game. Give me 10. Give me 10 of you not fading away and you staying relevant, the word. You give me 10 and I'm fucking with you.
You know, the word relevant, like, if you know who I am just by my voice.
I'm relevant.
And you don't to know my name. I don't have to say my name. You relevant.
There you go.
Know, if you see a picture of me and you stop and read the headline, just because it's a picture of me, that means I'm relevant. So relevant means that I get your attention. Mm. It doesn't mean that I got a bigger song on the radio than this one or that one. It means I know who this man is, I know who this female is, and I want to see what they doing. Whether I get with it or not, I'm interested, and that's relevant to me.
What if you gross like millions of dollars off hip hop year in and year out? Is that relevant?
Hell yeah.
Because that's what's happening right here.
I mean, relevancy to me is like when I go to like Kazakhstan or I go to Asia, Japan, China, and I see like your albums in other fucking languages and decoded, and they got like your fucking full fucking, like if you go to Japan, they got your full fucking rap sheet in the back of the album. Like they know everything you've done since you were like 10 years old.
So man, we've been getting queered. You understand me? Since, you understand me, Yogi Bear was a teddy bear. You understand me? Who gets queered that long, bro? Come on, man.
Yo, this shit is insane. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to add that 21 Savage is a cool guy. I love his music, and I don't think he meant to say it like that. Obviously,
but they did a song together. Yeah, that's so what I'm saying. In a nutshell, that summed it up. I like that. I like 21 Savage.
Let's make it clear. Like, but there are young kids that they look at, like, current standings.
But
and
even though he didn't mean that in that context, The little clickbait.
Oh yeah, of course.
Was taken and ran with, and now we have to deal with that statement. You know what I'm saying? We don't got to deal with, man, Savage, you wrong. But the statement went out there, and the conversation. It's a good conversation, man. I think that's a really good conversation. It's not as relevant. That's a good conversation. Let's have it, because hip hop is gonna keep having this conversation. And 20 years from now, all my young homies that are practicing ageism, all you old niggas that's practicing ageism, the conversation is going to keep coming up. And we're going to have it. Like, what is relevant? What is one thing, not? Who ain't got bars? Who do? Like, it's hip-hop, nigga. We family.
And stop saying, you're washed up. Stop. If you streaming more than these youngsters, if you having more Chalupa, more Skrilla, more Scratch, more Quid, more Yaper. Wow. You understand me?
Celebrate.
How the hell you gonna tell a motherfucker to stop rapping? You know, I tell them like this: if y'all keep bringing it, if y'all keep streaming it, and I'm gonna keep bringing it.
Yeah, celebrate.
If,
don't hate.
You know what I'm saying? If y'all keep buying it, I'm gonna keep supplying it. You understand me? And that goes for food and beverage too. Hello.
When you got a fan base, you know you got family. You got a career. When you got a fan base, you got a long career, and your fan base should be the most important thing to you. As an artist that's been in the game for a long time, because, you know, they're the ones who are going to be down from day one to day two to the last day if you keep giving them what they expect and love from you. So we got big fan bases, so we're going to be here for a long time.
But isn't it unfair that a lot of people didn't have, like, these new artists didn't have a chance to, like, interact with Pac, interact with Dre? Like, I mean, you guys gave birth to, like, even the mentality of when they go in the studio. Like, if they're aggressive, they got the Ice Cube shit. Every time I used to do mixtapes, I'd be like, yo, 50, man, you Ice Cube or something, man? Or you dissing everybody, man? Like, yo, because you were the king of that shit. Like, you said names. You fucking went in. There was no subliminals. Like, I used to be like, God damn. Like, Queens and Queens, like, NWA was the shit. Like, if it was Public Enemy, NWA, like, nonstop. Because, yo, Ice Cube, did you always think that? Like, you were so aggressive that you guarantee you're gonna have beef in the future because of your lyrics.
I didn't really think about that part, but my favorite MCs are aggressive. You know, the Rakim style is cool, but my favorite MCs was Run, LL, Chuck D, Aggression. You know, you got the mic. Get them
KRS-One was KRS-One with that shit.
KRS-One with the styles. Man. You know, he had many styles. You know what I mean? It's like he showed me that you don't have to rap the same. You got to pull out your arsenal of styles and flows, and you have to be different. I learned that from KRS-One. But the Aggression, Melly Mel, people who could get your attention, Ice-T,
I feel like Melly Mel was the first street rapper ever.
Melly Mel is ever. A lyrical, you know he's a genius because he was able to make it real. You know, it wasn't about the party. It was about what we had to deal with leaving the party, what we had to deal with before we get to the party. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It was it was showing that rap could visually take you to a place that you're probably scared to go without the music. You know, you won't go there. The music could take you there, but you would never go there yourself. And so when you got the mic, you got to use it. You only got a little time on this earth. These records are going to be here when we dead, and you got to make them count.
We wanted to be to the point where kids' parents are playing our songs 20, 30 years later, and they think it's new because that's what our parents did. They played songs, you know, that we did. It wasn't even rap. It was soul music, you know what I'm saying?
Temptations,
you know, the OJs, you understand me? The Whispers, you understand me? Can Function, like, you know, many moons ago. And we would think it's new. That's all they played. We thought it was brand new songs. You feel me?
Yeah. Wow.
But it's timeless music, man. Mm. You understand
Sound
me?
Good forever.
Come on.
Parliament, Funkadelic, George Clinton.
Wow.
Zap, James Brown, Bootsy, Rick James. You know, they showed us too that you don't have to stay in the box.
Yeah.
You don't have to be doo-woppy all the time. You can have complicated funk.
Yeah, I mean, motherfuckers was dressing crazy back then, man. You know, they used to have like sparkly shit on. Yeah, you know? I told him, yo, where that sparkle?
That was how
that was show business.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at all the artists, you know, the Silvers, the Earth, Wind and Fires, the Jackson Five. You know, you had to have a costume. Even you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Oh yeah, they had like some shit on. But
I think I saw some with
Africa Bambaataa, Soul Sonic Force.
I think I saw some with Melly Mel when he was talking about, you know, when Run DMC came out, just straight, you know, Lee's
Adidas,
striped.
I mean, go back and look at what Ice.
Y'all fucked up the game, you know. Goddamn, I was getting shit tailor made to hit the stage. Now y'all
switched up,
coming out in fucking t-shirts.
It was mad at Run DMC. Yeah.
Run DMC was one of the greatest.
Even Ice T when he first came out, remember Ice T and Breaking?
Yeah,
he had a fucking the belt with the bullets and the shit.
You had the ill suits though. You had like the ill suits. Who was making your suits back then? Who's tailoring?
He had leather suits. He'll wear a leather suit if it's 100 degrees in the summer, and that's game. Up right. University out there in the Bay Area. That's how they used to.
Now you gotta be honest, man. I went one day and bought these two leather suits. I wore them two motherfuckers for every photo shoot in my early days.
You make it or something.
The only reason why you can't find a picture, early picture of me without the leather suits, because all I had, nigga, I just had them two. Had the white one and the gray one.
Though. They worked.
Goddamn right. And I was inspired by Run DMC. Thank you.
Yeah. That's fire, man.
Thank you.
Jokes Up Ice Cream Dispensary is the number one cannabis dispensary in Studio City and Los Angeles.
Speaking of Jamaicans, you always had like Jamaican hooks and stuff like that. Who were these artists back then? Like, I would chase to do these like
Don Jaguar.
Yeah, shout that out, man.
Don Jaguar, we did Wicked together. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of, you know, one of those first, you know, rap, reggae flavors, you know, together. To me, you know, it's like, dope culture, dope, and they, you know, I'm always interested in places that got their own flavor.
Mm.
You know, that's why I love the Bay. The Bay is not like Southern California. The Bay is on its own energy, and it's different, and it's interesting, and it's not in a box. You know what I mean? It's fluid, it's loose, is banging, the beats got to bang. Like, you can't get away with no smooth ass. Like, you know, if you got something slow, it got to be full of bass, and it got to have that bay.
Got to have a lot of shit talking to.
Yeah, it's a flavor, you know, and it can't be duplicated.
I mean, you talk about culture. Like, where did the Asians come into play? Like, I used to DJ before I met E-40.
We from the area,
yeah,
man.
I know there's a lot over there, but how did that, like, they used to do all the fucking... Like,
let me just tell you.
Yeah, explain this culture clash.
It's called born in it. They born in this shit. They born in the trenches, the octagon. They right there, and they in Oakland. They
like
in
triads
Toronto,
and
they
shit.
In Frisco,
I used to do crazy.
Let me bring you in, because you a DJ who works a lot of rooms, not just in these times.
The Bay Area woke me up. By the way, when I first DJed in the Bay, I woke up because I'm playing on East shit. Niggas is like this. I start playing like Keek the Sneak and everything. Everybody,
exactly.
One of the niggas. Like,
but I'm saying, you work, you work them diverse crowds, man.
Thank God I know all the DJs across the world.
We have a diverse fan base in the Bay that from the start, it was never just black people only. Mm. It was always, you look out in the crowd and the white people are standing right there.
Asians
is right there. And the Mexicans is right
there.
And we all like, we all turning up. We all like, you know, whatever. It became to be known as hyphy. But it was always like, I always had that fan base of not just black people. Because, you know, we got platinum albums. And if you was platinum, you had to cross over. You couldn't just be platinum. You couldn't be platinum and just be a black audience only. So we had to cross over.
It was Usos, Filipinos.
Wow.
It was I just want to say, too, man, personally, I made 6 platinum albums, 4 gold albums, and I did that shit on 3 regions. I only had the Midwest, the South, and the West Coast. So if you do the math of the magnitude of what I had to do to sell over 1 million records in 3 regions without...
Super hard.
You know what I'm saying? It was 2 niggas in Queens with a 2 short album.
Wow.
And 2 niggas in Queens, 3 niggas in Brooklyn.
Nah, you think
1 nigga
that.
In the Bronx.
Yeah. Nah, it was more than that, brother.
Yeah.
It was more than that.
Nigga, I was on the elevator checking into my penthouse suite in New York City, and the bellman is like, "Who is you?" I'm like, "Too short." And he like, "I ain't never heard of you. What you do?" I rap. He's like, "Where you rap at?" I'm like, "Nigga, I done did shows with Big Daddy Kane. I'm naming rappers, right?" Like, the bellman. I'm on there juried up, going to my penthouse. He said, "Stop lying."
Damn.
In New York. He didn't believe me.
You let that be your melt. That was your motivation to
I know
continue.
that was a good moment. Like New York, I was like, nigga, I was multi-platinum.
We got booed at the Apollo.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's crazy.
Eazy-E and NWA.
What? Yeah, I heard about that.
Boo.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some Jerry Curls out of here. This was when we only had one song, really. What? Boys in the Hood and We Want Eazy. Boys in the Hood didn't, you know, that was just underground. We Want Eazy was our first MTV record.
Well, them booze didn't age too well.
What it is, if we should have started with those songs that they knew. We started with songs that they didn't know. It wasn't nothing but I think it was a BRE or some kind of, you know, seminar where they had, you know, you go to the BRE and do your shit there, and then you go over to the Apollo and everybody's performing. But when you get there, it's like, damn, Biz Markie and goddamn, like they got the Giants out here.
In the middle of fucking Harlem.
And you know, you got, I mean, the biggest groups out there, you know, Ultra Magnetic.
You going up against them.
You got, you know, Stessa Sonic. Mm. You got, and it's like, oh yeah, and Eazy-E and NWA. Who the fuck? You know, and we got booed, and
what year was that? We was arguing this shit. What year?
It's got to be 88.
Wow.
Yeah, 88. And we arguing this shit about what we could have did better, and we saw Run in the elevator.
Mm.
And Run was like, "Yo, what, you know, who are y'all? What's up? What y'all doing?" It's like, you know, it's Eazy-E and NWA. Oh, Eazy-E. You that kid with the Boys in the Hood song?
Wow.
And that right there was all we needed.
Yeah,
was like, right. Okay, this shit bubbling. They just ain't ready yet. We'll be back.
Especially for Run to say that.
Run to say that. A forever fixture.
Because
we
you
was
feel me?
We was like, damn.
Come on.
I was like, damn, Run just wanted to
come
get
on
the
that's
elevator
all
with
you
Run.
Need.
And he knew us. And that was all we need to say. It's just too early. We just out here a little too early.
Wow, man. I want to get the Tupac thing out of the way. Did he affect, like, y'all directions and stuff?
Oh, we was before Tupac. How about that?
Mm.
Yeah, Pac.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Pac did
a lot.
I knew
Pac
from,
go ahead.
From Digital.
Mm.
You know, when I first met Pac, he was, you know, Digital had one of the most entertaining shows in hip-hop. You know,
R.I.P. Humpty Hump.
Yep.
Yeah, they would do, like, a Parliament Funkadelic West Coast version of that. They would do
a segment where they was like, what's your favorite rapper and shit? And then they had these big ass heads of EPMD and shit, and they would come out there, you got to chill, you know what I'm saying? It's like, then they would have, you know, all these different dope ass MCs, and he was part of that. And I remember him being a little frustrated, you know what I'm saying? Because he's like, do my shit, man, but my shit gotta be hard, man. He's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm you know, the part I live at in LA, I mean in the Bay, is fucked up, and we need to talk about that shit. And then he was like, I don't know if Shock G gonna let me get down like that, but he's like, Cube, I wanna make the kind of records y'all make. That's what I'm on. I ain't really on this this dancey stuff. So I said, man, you know, just be true to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Talk to Shock G and tell him that you need to fulfill yourself as an artist and not just, you know, do the
party shit.
Yeah, the party shit.
Yeah.
And Brenda's, and I'm glad he listened. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad he listened, and he started doing the music, you know, when he came out as a solo artist that he really wanted to do.
And then, but he at the same time, he loved Digital Underground.
Yes.
You know, there was a platform for him, you know, when they did their soundtrack. I believe it was All Around the World.
Yes.
That was his debut.
You know, they brought visual him out. Debut. They did it great with visually, because they brought him out like
jumped out the back of the Hertz.
Yeah, and then they had somebody lift him
up. It was a movie.
Yeah, it was a movie. Yeah, they it was great. It
too. And they had a dreadlock wig on, too, or some shit.
That was dope. So, look, but you know what I love? When Pac really got on, and then he did the...
When my homies called Brenda's Got a Baby.
That one, but I'm talking about up round and round, that round, one right there. Yeah,
I get around. Man.
You know, Shock G produced that, didn't Shock G?
Yeah, that was Tupac's biggest first
slapper.
Yes, biggest hit.
You know? Tupac was my little homie. He was a young homie. You know, we was well established. I got a platinum album I did called Short Dogs in the House, and you know, back then we used to do these little DVD, VHS, a little 1 hour video that would help promote the album, and we got Shock G to host the event that night. So Shock G is he's hosting the behind the scenes, walking around with a camera crew. And years later, like, I didn't even recognize it that night. I'm platinum. I'm the nigga. I'm on stage. Yeah. It's my party. Everybody's celebrating. And I look back years later, and Tupac is like a little nigga in the background. He like just a little Digital Underground dancing homie. I'm like, damn, I did not know that nigga was there all that time. He was
crazy.
And it's like, you know, Digital Underground is unique. It's a West Coast group, right? Mm. But Melly B's from Philly.
Oh, yes, that's
Tupac
right.
Tupac is what? Baltimore by way of New York. Shock G is from the East, you know that, right?
Yeah.
He's from like what, Jersey or New York somewhere or something?
He's like near, like outside of New York, kind of.
Upstate
like,
or some shit, something. Yeah, so it's like these cats. Shock G told me a story. I don't know if he ever told y'all the story. Mm. Shock G used to work at a music store, Music Unlimited. And I went to buy a keyboard. He sold it to me. And he's telling me, like, yeah, my name Greg, man. He wasn't even running the Shock G. He was like, yeah, I play piano. He said I pimped my way from the East Coast to the West to come out here and make music with you niggas. Like he,
damn.
And he was like, he was one of them niggas. Like, you meet a nigga, he's like, nigga, you gonna hear me.
Yeah, he made sure. I
tell you a story. And it ain't about Pac.
So Shock G was interesting because he was like the first of aliases. You know what I'm saying? You know, he was Shock G.
Two guys in one. He was Humpty two members Hump. Of the same group.
He'd turn into Humpty Hump.
Alter Egos.
So he'd go to, Alter
He got
Egos.
That from George Clinton. George Clinton was Star Child, Dr. Funkenstein.
As far as rappers, he was the first.
Yeah.
As far as rappers, he was the first with hella aliases.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a clone of Dr. Funkenstein.
Yeah, yeah. And he did that because I just trip on how talented that dude was. You know? Yeah. He was kind of like to himself type of dude. I hate that I never really. We did the I Got Five on the remix together.
Oh, wow.
Which was very huge.
Don't but say you hate that we didn't work together because rappers didn't work together back then.
We tried to.
I've been doing. You know, niggas wouldn't think about making records together back then.
Yeah, that's real. We all held our own.
Segregated.
But I mean, if you look at it now,
yeah, Jones,
a lot
style,
of people rock together, you know, a lot of. So that's why we got Mountain. That ain't why. It was just written. Mount Westmore is here because it was written. It was it wasn't no planned out situation. It just happened. It was our assignment.
Yeah,
we
want
to be an inspiration to the new generation and old generation.
I mean, but nobody had more fun on tour than Pac. Like when I remember with the Digital Underground that he came, like had to be 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Everything shut down really.
except Pac. He knocking on my everybody door.
On Hennessy.
You sleep? What? Nah, no sleep. No sleep. Nah. Come on, sleep. Man. Get dressed, Q. Come on. Let's go downstairs. I know the lobby popping. It ain't popping, man. It's over. Come on, man.
The lobby was a
got
spot.
Me dressed. You know, he running around with all the energy in the world. You know, we sleep, man. But he got all the energy in the world. And just a good dude who was genuine.
No drugs. Just liquor and weed.
Yeah.
Wow. That's it.
Yeah, he was... He was on point. You know, last time I seen him, it was a show. It's a trip because you hear all this shit about him in the street, busting at police, you know, spitting at the camera, doing this shit. And we had a show in upstate New York in Rochester.
Oh, and, shit.
It was crazy. And
grimy as fuck.
Man. On the show was Wu-Tang, Biggie. It was Tupac. And me, we was all on the show. And I just remember Tupac coming in the dressing room, humble as shit. I'm like, man, you been wilding like a motherfucking nigga. You come in here, nigga, like a church mouse and shit. You know what I'm saying? He was like, yeah, man. And, you know, they fucking with me out there. You know, and it's a trip because that same night, I met ODB. You know, wow. He came in. He had a 40 and shit. He came in talking to me.
That's my guy.
He had two egos. He had two personalities, too.
He was quiet, too. You know, he was humble.
He'd be ODB, then the nigga hit you with the Russell.
Like, yeah, he was, you know, different than I had, you know, seen him before, but it was cool. And it's a trip. You know, that's the last time I seen them both, you know. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to tell you who was the guy, man. I'm going to tell you who was the guy. If you get to hang out with Eazy-E after a show...
Oh yeah!
You about to have some fun.
Eazy was homie.
I mean, I heard.
I went to his room one time.
Oh no!
I went to his room. It was a line.
What?
It was a line of chicks.
What the hell?
It was about 10 of them sitting on the floor outside the door,
waiting on their turn.
What?
I had the coldest technique ever. I went on the NWA Straight Outta Compton tour, and we used to Eazy had a part of the show. He like, yeah, you know, he talking to the crowd, right? He like, you know, I was over at the Radisson across the street, getting ready to come over here and do the show. So he secretly tell the whole crowd where we staying at, and that was just like, you know, that was just like a fishing line, just throw it out there. So we sit there and we go, we in the cut, right? It's like me and whoever my little crew was, DOC, whoever we like, wait, let's just wait, give it like 30 minutes, let Eric move around. Watch him. Oh, he grabbed him too. He's going. Let's go to work. Like we let him pick.
Yeah.
As soon as he picked, now it's ours.
Yeah. Crazy.
I give up, man.
Winning formulas.
We only have a couple minutes left. I gotta leave and shit. I could talk to y'all forever.
We gotta do this again.
Yeah, we'll do a part two, man.
We definitely gotta do a part two, but I gotta end this with the violence in hip hop. Was the heat index in beef the same as now, or is there a difference? Or
come on now. We all remember.
You see how the kids are dying like more reckless now, which is crazy.
And it used to happen all the time. You know, ain't nothing new in hip hop. You know, I remember.
So we
was just talking about E Love getting shot in the ass at one of that's E Love, LL87.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's been happening. Niggas been getting cut at the Latin quarters. You know, it just
there's no social media to put it out there the way it is now.
Do you remember a little place called The Tunnel?
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
Yeah, I remember like, the title. Hell yeah!
The good, you know, hip hop. What's so great about it?
It highlights the good, the bad, now too,
and the ugly.
It's everything. More saturated now. It's like hella rappers. You could
because we on social media, it's always highlighted the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody liked the good, the money, the you know, the fame, the camaraderie. You know, people don't like the bad. You know, when contracts is fucked up, boom, boom, boom. But it can get ugly, too. And people hate the ugly. But that's murder, and that's death, and that's...
Oh, wow. Reality.
The reality. So hip-hop has always dealt with the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, since, you know, Cold Crush Brothers or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Skylar Rockin' on them.
Yeah, Skylar Rock
got
murdered.
That was man.
You know, but
too.
That, you know, so... it's nothing new under the sun. You know, we just got to be smarter. You know, we've had 50 years to understand how it can happen. So we just want the young artists to be as smart, to move accordingly, to live. You got a lot to live for. You know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to make sure that you survive for your family.
you know, you're probably bringing the most notoriety and money to your family that's ever happened. And you can't take that lightly. And you can't play with it. You got to be serious as a heart attack. Mm.
How many rappers were there, literally? How many rappers were there in 1998?
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
And how many rappers are there 25 years later? Like,
it's, Johnny, it's hella rappers now.
So, you know, you sitting there saying, you ain't never heard me on the post saying how much my chain cost.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't giving you the breakdown, the itemized what I did and just like advertising how valuable this is. I used to try to move around. My cousins be calling. Nigga, let me buy. Like, bro, I ain't got it. Like if you bragging and your cousins call, yeah. Like, nigga, you got it. Nigga, you just spent 70 on the chain, nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
Let your cousin borrow 2,000.
But can you make it clear that you don't need jewelry? Like, everybody knows your face. They know your face. No, you don't.
We
need
don't
that.
Need it.
Exactly. We so we end up with that.
Look at me.
Back in the day.
I ain't got nothing on but my wedding ring.
Why did Slick Rick go to prison?
Big ass
he
shit.
He shot a nigga.
Like.
It was his home homie though.
You know.
It's always been there. The hip hop has been dangerous. Let's go back and look at Crush Groove. Russell got his ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? It was a tough world.
I mean, they
hip-hop.
Did self-destruction for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, that's an 80s song.
See, I forgot about that shit.
They did self-destruction for a reason. They did
oh my God.
All in the Same Gang
for a reason.
I forgot
about that shit. Oh, shit.
It's always
been
around.
I think just a lot of awareness and a lot of instantaneous news right now.
Compare the numbers back then to each state and all the dangerous cities to now. Back then,
the early 90s, the stats ain't never.
They'll never be matched. Because the murders in the 90s was beyond.
D.C., Detroit.
It was crazy.
Bay Area.
Nowhere near. It's not like that now.
We ain't talking about the crack era.
It ain't like that.
We grew up through the crack era.
We just see it more now.
We grew up through it.
We survived the 80s, man.
We grew up in the 80s.
And make it clear, the West Coast is still crazy dangerous.
It is. Always have been.
Yes. Don't sleep.
But look, you know. Go back and look at the movies, Colors, all
Mount
that
Westmore.
Shit.
Always,
I just saw a post on social media that said, if you come to New York, don't go to the Bronx.
Yeah.
I just saw that from a New York nigga. What's happening in the Bronx, man?
It's fucked up over there.
I heard the craziest shit in the world happens in the Bronx and Florida. Like,
hey, man, I missed the what's that fucking bridge?
The Queens Bridge?
No, the one that go
Manhattan
from
Bridge?
No, the one that go from the Trouble. Bronx to Jersey.
GW, George Washington Bridge.
So I missed the exit. I'm on the West Side Highway and I missed the exit. I ended up by Old Yankee Stadium.
You just turned to Justin Bieber.
Nigga, I was so scared, nigga. I'm an East Oakland nigga. I was scared. It was nighttime by the Yankee Stadium. I was scared, nigga.
Yo, we out of here, man. Your people, your Illuminati's trying to get y'all out of here. You know?
Cool kid, man. We love to see you all the time, man.
Yeah, we got
all the time
too, man.
You never been to my house, Hoo Kid?
No, I've been to your crib before.
I know. I just want to say
that. And that's like fucking some legendary shit. Like you have to be really trusted to go.
I told this nigga E40, we got to go do Hoo Kid show. He said, "Who is Hoo Kid?"
I said, "Who is Hoo Kid?"
I'm looking at the,
that's just analogy.
I said, "Did y'all get that? Did y'all see what I said? Did y'all see how I did that?"
My favorite joints out there for you idiots is Motto, of course, Too Big, shout out to Dr. Dre, California, and of course, Fuck You.
Have a nice day.
I love that song, by the way. And make sure, if you are a young idiot, you have to have these in your car. E40, In a Major Way, and of course, you know, that's the one with Sprinkle Me, The Mailman, you gotta have that. Shout out to Too Short, you gotta have Life Is Too Short, and of course the Blow the Whistle album, which is like his 16th album. Like, this motherfucker is super rich. And of course Cube, if you don't have America's Most Wanted or Death Certificate, you an idiot. Alright, so that's all
if
I gotta say.
You don't know
say.
Who Too Short is, I used to date your mama, nigga.
That's yeah, yay.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
See you.
Shout out to Hardeen Las Vegas, the best
Jokes
dispensary in the world.
Jokes Up Ice Cream, the number one cannabis dispensary in Studio City and Los Angeles.